As we go in, we expand out. This is Skull Babylon, and we invite you to take a journey into the elf zone of the magical forest at the Solstice Festival. For this episode of Paradigm Shift Radio, episode 125, the Solstice Festival Experience. Transformational festivals are happening more and more across the world and are allowing us a safe space to practice being our authentic selves and exploring more of this reality as consciousness. Following recent personal direct experiences at the festival, we recap how and why they are so important for changing ourselves and taking the lessons out into the bigger world around us. We are joined by our good friend and hip-hop artist C-Reality as we weave our way back through the memories and into the realms of the mystery. Stay tuned to hear more. Ripple the shift further by sharing this episode with your friends and inviting them to check out more of the project and get involved at ParadigmShiftCentral.com. You can help support the community website fees and development time that goes into the project by signing up as a monthly micro-contributor through the main website. Stay tuned for more episodes and more updates as the project is constantly evolving. Keep your eye open for transformational festivals where you are, go with the flow, be inspired, and enjoy the episode. One love. The journey of the heart is the journey home. Welcome once again, fellow shifters, seekers, lovers, and dreamers. This is your good buddy Brendan, aka Skull Babylon, aka Wolf Shield, aka Skull the Wolf, aka Big Skull, and you're tuned in for another exciting, consciousness shifting, community oriented, inspirational, empowering, spiritual themed episode of Paradigm Shift Radio. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us once again for this episode. This is going to be an exciting one. Tonight's episode is coming off the continued wave of the vibes created over the past couple weeks. The ongoing vibes are continuing to rise across the globe, and the microcosm is the macrocosm, and there's been some pretty big news all across the world today and in the last couple weeks and everything, but this is specifically riding off the waves of the recent festival that I was fortunate enough to be able to attend called the Solstice Gathering. And this is a festival, a transformational festival that happened in Ontario, Canada, and I was there with a bunch of beautiful people, specifically many of my friends who are part of the Paradigm Shift London tribe, and many people who I've connected with over the internet and got the chance to be able to hang out with in person. And that is what we're going to be talking about in tonight's episode. We're going to be talking about, how are these transformational festivals helping change the world? How are they helping us tap into our divine remembrance, so to speak? How are they helping us shift our paradigms? So, of course, before we officially get into that, I just want to welcome everyone to this show and to this bigger project. ParadigmShiftCentral.com is the main website that you guys can check out. And what you'll see here, the long story short, is that this is a project about creating conscious media. It's about being able to document the shift in consciousness. We've been doing this for about 6 years now. The radio show has been going on for close to, oh my God, I think we passed our 3-year anniversary and I didn't even notice. Holy shit. It would have been in June some point. Oh man, that's totally true. I totally passed the 3rd year anniversary. So big shout out to everyone who's been listening to this show. 3 years is, 3 years and 3 more years and infinite more after that. And of course, this is about creating episodes for the radio show. It's about creating videos. And it's also about encouraging people to create physical paradigm shift communities where they are, which is a big theme about this community. It's about encouraging and talking about how we can take these amazing experiences of the festival beyond the festival to be able to take them back into our communities. So the main website right now, I just want to let you guys know that there's some server stuff that I'm dealing with. So you'll notice some blank spots where normally there would be highlighted videos within the community. Dealing with that, that isn't fully controllable on my end. But if you notice things are blank and missing, that's why. But the more important and exciting news is that I want to let you guys know that there's a whole new platform that is going to be being released in the near future called Paradigm Shift Central LiveNet. And this is going to be our own social media platform for the Paradigm Shift Central project. It's going to be an alternative to Facebook. It's going to be a place where we will be able to see what we want to see and create what we want to create and share our own creations, and also to be able to give people a chance to tell their own story, to document, to literally write their own quest logs, their own journal entries, and to write their own articles. And it's going to be very exciting. I originally was going to open this up for beta today, but we're going to just hold off on it. I need to do a little bit more work on it, but stay tuned for that. And if you want to get updates, just be sure to subscribe to facebook.com/ParadigmShiftCentral or Paradigm Shift Radio, or add me at facebook.com/SkullBabylon. When I was at the festival, I was talking talking to a lot of people about this, and I'm excited about it. So stay tuned, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it right, and we're going to open it up to beta very soon. So that's the awesome news. And just segueing this into the theme of this episode, the theme of this episode is really exciting for me because a lot of you know that I've been to many festivals before. This is technically the sixth festival that I attended, the second time I attended Ulm Festival. I was there last year. The other three would have been the Lucidity Festival, and then the other one, for the first one that I went to, was 3 Days of Light in North Carolina, which is happening again in August. So you might want to check out 3DLGathering.com if you're looking for another awesome consciousness shifting festival to go to that I know some of my friends will be at as well. So if I can get if I can just get an 11-11 from you guys in the live chat to make sure that you guys are having a good time and make sure that everybody is just here and present as we continue to move forward with this episode. And what we're actually going to do, we're actually going to bring on one of our good friend Chris, who has been on the show before, associated with Tester Logic. You guys might remember we've had him on, and he shared some of his hip hop, some of his music and everything. And he is cool, and it's appropriate for me to be able to invite him back into the show. He's a community facilitator in the Toronto area, and I really respect him, and just in terms of like his ongoing dedication towards being able to help create his art and putting himself out there in terms of sharing his music and really getting the messages. And there's the cool thing was is that when I arrived at the Solstice Festival, I'll sort of like paint the picture of like what this looks like, because again, I sort of want to bring the audience into the experience of the festival. For myself, I arrived on Thursday, and the festival was a whole week thing. And most of the people from London, Ontario, Canada were already there, were already on the ground since Monday, some of them even further being able to help out with the build, because this whole thing is just like run through like volunteer. It's like just really just a lot of like blood and sweat and tears goes into this, and tears in terms of like the healing and the experiences that come out of it. And so I was one of the last people from London to arrive, and I got there on Thursday evening, and you know, just sort of got myself to a tent and everything like that, and dropped off myself, and I was like, all right, you know, this party's already kicking. You know, I just like put on my elf gear, walk step, you know, I was in the elf zone. I was like just ready to vibe with it. And then one of the stages that they have called the Hive Stage, which is this big like geodesic dome, one of the first people that was performing there was Chris and Darius as Tester Logic. And so it was really cool for me to just like be there and just be like, oh yes, like this is one of those like in sync moments where I'm just like, this is going to be a good festival experience, this is going to be awesome. And having him be like the first thing that I witnessed as I get there was really cool, because he brings some amazing energy. So we're gonna bring Chris onto the show, and we'll get to hear from him, and we'll bounce some ideas back and forth, and we'll also invite other people who are at the Solstice Festival, specifically people who are at the Solstice Festival, to call in. So if you're one of the people at the Solstice Festival who is there with us, please call into the show, and you can call in by using Skype through the Blog Talk link. Just press the Skype button if it's there. Sometimes it's glitchy and it's not there, and you can dial in that way, and it shouldn't cost anything, or call in manually off a regular phone, and there may be long distance charges, but the guest call-in number is 347-539-5493. So again, 347-539-5493. So with that said, just reminding you guys, invite more people to tune into the show. We're about to kick it off, and I'll be promoting it on my end, and we'll get some more OMIs, as we call them, onto the episode to be able to hear more about some of the amazing transformational experiences that happen at these festivals. So with that said, let's bring on our good buddy Chris. So Chris, if you're there, we'll bring you onto Paradigm Shift Radio.
Hey, what's good, brother?
Hey, man. Welcome to this amazing thing that we got going on that is equally as amazing as the festival, and it's just vibes continuing to ride themselves.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on.
You're awesome. Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, I kind of explained to you before, you know, having had you on the show in the past, I sort of just like to be able to bounce some ideas around and really think of this as an opportunity for us to be able to co-host, for us to be able to invite more people, and for us to be able to really hit home some key ideas as to why these festivals matter. And if there's anything that like you want to say off the top, like just like in terms of like the big picture of why do you think these festivals are making a difference in people's lives?
Yeah, the festivals are great. I find being able to take people outside of their everyday bubbles and create a paradigm that, you know, basically shows how human beings can coexist in a really positive way, in a really beautiful way, in a transformational way. It doesn't have to be based on oppression and domination. That can be based on mutual aid and sharing. it's really important to start building those alternatives, even though we're in the midst of this whole capitalist system. Making the alternatives right now is really important, so we can work out, you know, all the things that come up, because it's definitely not always easy to create the alternative, and there will be mistakes made along the way. So the more practice we have at it, the more we can, you know, learn from our mistakes and grow as people and grow as a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the really cool things about this, is that these festivals are practice. They're practice for like a new world, a new way of living. And I really experienced that at some of the other festivals that I've been to as well, just in terms of like the infrastructure that goes into building them, but also the habits that we see. And I think one of the things that really makes Ohm Festival or Solstice Gathering, it's got a couple names, technically Solstice Gathering, Solstice Festival. One of the things that makes it what it is that I really enjoy is the fact that it's very volunteer oriented, and whereas with other festivals you buy your ticket, here at Solstice you sign up for a membership, you apply and you get a membership. So it's not even calling it a ticket, it's a little bit different. And then with this, there's this agreement that you will take part in a volunteer shift, at least like 1 4-hour volunteer shift. So, you know, there's over like 1,000 people there. I'm not even exactly sure how many people were there. That'd be an interesting idea to get some numbers on that.
1400.
That's awesome. So, you know, there's 1400 people there, and each person there is like contributing at least like 4 hours of volunteer time. And that's like a huge thing that makes this festival run. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that people can volunteer. As for myself, part of sharing my experience, my volunteer shift, and since this was my second year, I knew a little bit about what I was getting into. I was just like, I arrived Thursday, I'm just like, put me for volunteer shift, like first thing Friday morning in the kitchen. And that was like where I was. So, you know, just like helping out, moving things around, like chopping up stuff when they needed chopping up stuff. And for me, it was really fun because I actually ended up getting to like serve the breakfast food at one point. And it was just like part of my volunteering was just like saying good morning to people and like starting their day off with a smile. And it was really funny because, like, you know, we had like soup, and then we also have like oatmeal, but like usually like in festival in the Elf Zone, we don't always call oatmeal, we'll call it like glop. So, you know, it's just people coming up, it's like, would you like some glop? And there's like, glop, please. You know, it's like, here's some glop for you. So it's just like, and all the food there is like, you know, in the kitchen is very strict, vegan oriented and everything. And yeah, so I mean, the volunteer aspect behind this really gets people involved and engaged with the community aspect of it. You know, they're working alongside people who they have never met before. And yet by the time they're a couple hours into this experience, they've already like made a new friend. Like everyone there is like everyone else's friend, and it's that real family feel to it. Chris, what was your volunteer experience this year or any previous years?
This year I actually went up a little bit early with a really good friend, well, has become a deeper friend now, Alex RMT Muse, as I know him, and we helped set up the Comm Tent area, which is the healing center. And so I was there on Saturday, and we helped set up the different stations for different practitioners and just got all the deco up and the vibes going. And I also taught a couple yoga classes and an acro yoga workshop as well. So I was staying busy the whole time, as well as performing.
Awesome, man. Yeah, and let's just sort of like think about like what were the other volunteer experiences that people had the chance to take part in. You know, like obviously, like yeah, the build crew was a huge thing. Like there were people on like the long crew that were there at least what, like a couple weeks before the festival even started, like longer than that.
Yeah, I think 2-3 weeks before.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, just like all the work that goes into like creating the stages and everything, and the grounds that it takes place on is really, really cool. It's really ideal. Just sort of give people a bit of a visual. The festival kind of takes place just like in this back area of this like of this family's property. It's not necessarily a farm, but it's just like opened up to like a lot of green space, a lot of forest, and there's like there's this main field that's just kind of off to the right when you first walk up to it, and that's like where a lot of stuff just sort of happens throughout the day. And then on the left of that, there's this entire forest that is full of just like intricate paths and everything, and that is like where you will find at least two of the stages, and that's where everybody camps out and stuff. So people show up and they like find a spot in the forest and they just like set up a tent, and it turns into this village. It turns into this amazing village again, where that's just like very organic in that way. And also one of the exciting things is that there's also like a little pond where, you know, a bunch of beautiful hippies are skinny dipping all day long. So that's just part of the experience. So but yeah.
Lots of naked hippies for sure.
Lots of naked hippies. So yeah, just kind of, you know, just talking a little bit more about like personal experiences and everything. I mean, how many times have you been to this festival now?
This is my fourth year going consecutively, and it's been a really healing experience. The first year I went was actually a year after the G20, and the 5-year anniversary just passed as well of the G20, and it was a nice contrast from 2010 to 2011. Like, you know, it basically G20 time was seeing the power structure try and flex and show the world that they wanted to create, which was one of surveillance, fences, riot cops, billions of dollars spent, detainment, prisons. Like, that's the vision for the future that they have. And then getting to go to this festival and seeing a radically different perspective on how humanity can relate with each other, it was very healing for me, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like that's a big thing that comes out of this, is that there is like a lot of healing. And I mean, for some people, it's a very like radically different experience. I mean, for people such as myself and others and yourself, like we've sort of been around some of like the conscious community environment and everything like that. You know, we've been in like group meditations, and we've been in like, you know, like actively, like I'm just thinking back, you know, like when you organized the flash mob meditation back in the day, and just like any of those circumstances where people are just sort of like feeling lots and lots of love in one place at one time. For some people, like when they go to a festival like that, like Solstice Festival, Solstice Gathering, this is like a brand new experience for them. And it's a very visceral experience. They're just like, holy crap, you know, like I've never felt this amount of love before in my life. Like everyone here is just so amazing, and they're so just like caring and compassionate and stuff like that. So I mean, for some people, you know, like it's quite natural that like the healing process through this festival is something where it's just like very nurturing. And also, you know, like there's a lot of release that can take place, and people are in a safe space. And I think that's what makes these festivals so important, is that it is a safe place for people to go through whatever healing it is that they need to go through, and also, you know, whatever sort of exploration that they need to go through in terms of their own consciousness, whatever that means to them. You know, whether it's just like through some of like the breath work classes, through some of like the deep meditation, and also through working with like transcendental meditation, and also through like psychedelic experiences and everything like that, which is something that I think is worth talking about, and we will get around to that obviously. But you know, just in terms of like some of the other things that happened at this festival, it's worth noting that a lot of education takes place at these festivals. There are workshops like all day long, at least during like the main hours of the day. And this year I was so busy just kind of like going with my flow and everything like that I never actually got a chance to attend any of the workshops that were happening. But there was a good variety of them. Chris, did you get a chance to attend any workshops this year?
Yeah I did I facilitated a couple yoga classes and an acro yoga class, and I got to take a really great one that my friend Shayla was facilitating about cultural appropriation in the context of the festival as well, which was really powerful. And really, I'm very happy that the festival and the organizers create space for that, to have that conversation as well, because it's a very inclusive space, but in a lot of ways it's a very privileged space. And there are some things that do make some people of color uncomfortable, namely like white folks with dreadlocks. That can be an issue for sure. I know there's various opinions on that across the board. So having just a space to open up the conversation and dialogue was really nice, and it was a nice conversation we had about it.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any of like the titles for some of the other workshops that were going on?
I can't really remember too many of them, but they all looked amazing. There was a lot of really great things happening. It's you kind of get lost in the forest. Forest time starts taking place, and you go with the flow, and whole days just fly by.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, and I mean, I think for me, that's one of my favorite part, one of my favorite aspects about this festival is just being able to like let go of regular notions of how we perceive like time throughout the day, and you're there to practice listening to your intuition. And when you're doing that, you really have an opportunity to connect with a lot of people in amazing ways. And I mean,
it can be hard when you're trying to organize a workshop and you're like, hey, this is happening. People are like, oh, I'm going to go for sure. And then
yeah.
It's like, no, they don't.
So. It takes like an hour, more than an hour, just to like get across from one point of the festival to the other, because it's just like keep running into people and everything. That's a very common occurrence there for sure.
It is. It's a good problem.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to get things done, it can be hilarious as well.
For sure. Yeah. And again, you know, like what I really like about these festivals is the space that it creates for people to authentically express themselves. And I think for people who may not have had the opportunity to be in a festival like that, I think it's one of those things that, like, you know, you can see pictures and stuff, but there's a real vibe that you get once you get in there. And it's very, you know, I use the term elf zone to accurately describe like the vibe of how it feels. And it's accurate in many ways, because you see people there who are dressing up as the magical beings that we are. And you know, we're so attracted to like these ancient stories of like fairies and folklore and elfkin and everything. And then that's a part of us. That's a part of us that is just like naturally coming through, and it's naturally sort of tapping into you know, the elemental spirits around us, or whatever way you want to think of it. So you go to a festival like this and you just see you're surrounded by all these people who are they are dressed up as these they're not even characters, like, and I mean I sort of hesitate when I use the word like dress up, like they're dressing into themselves, and they're really there to just be like, you know, we can't always, but that's the question, can we dress like this more and more within culture on a regular basis? And some people do in their own ways, and there's certain ways to do it. But here, people are totally free to just like really, you know, wear their face paint, wear their wings, like to be that fairy, to be that elf that they are. And for me, like, that's where I sort of like get into that zone where I just like, I'm sort of like that elf warrior guardian type, like mystic journeyer. And that's like kind of like this like vibe that I naturally flow into, that is like very much just like what I'm comfortable in. It's me, it's who I am and everything like that. But yeah, like Chris, what are some of your observations on like how people sort of dress up or dress in at these festivals, and what that kind of means, and why that's important?
I love people expressing themselves in so many different ways, and it's inspiring to be in a space that is comfortable, where everybody can feel like they can be themselves as freaky and funky as they want to be without judgment, without expectation on some kind of societal norm. It's a really great space to really express yourself, and for people that have never been to the experience to feel that, and to like see people come out of their shells and really blossom during the festival, and like by the weekend when the party's in full swing, see them just like magically transformed. It's a really amazing thing to watch.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any like particular outfits and like any gear that people were wearing that really stood out to you?
Lots of awesome onesies. Some yeah. Leopard onesies my friend Caplin was wearing. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and again, you know, just so many beautiful people. Like everyone there was just like obviously beautiful, because they were just in a space where they're being authentic. And I think that's what is attracted. That is what we naturally find attractive to people, is authenticity. And I think that's like part of the reason why these festivals are very important, because they're creating a space for us to be able to practice being our authentic selves in a very real way. And then that is like one of the most important gifts that we can give to the world is to be our authentic self, because then when we take that back into our culture, other people see that, and it makes them sort of like think within themselves as to like whether or not like they're fully being as expressive as they desire to be. And we give other people permission simply by being who we are. So I mean, yeah, like there's a lot to these festivals that really just it's like a playground, but it's learning how to play in a very real and practical way that we can take with us back out into the real world. And you know, some of the other amazing things at the festival are like also all the art installations. There's so much art, and like I have to give a shout out to my friends like Patrick and Leah who were there. They were like arting like all week, and Patrick he had an art installation that a lot of people were just like totally just getting drawn into throughout the day. And you can check out his stuff. I'll post a link to it in the live chat right now. But if you look up PKC Art on Facebook, you can find it there. And he has like these infinity mirrors that he creates. So like it's this really cool thing where, you know, you go into it and you look into it, and it sort of like has like this like depth to the mirror, and there's these lights around it. And it's just one of those things that you can really get lost in. And I think having a mirror at a festival like that, as rare as they may be, is actually a very interesting thing, because when we're at these festivals, a lot of what we're doing is we're learning more about who we are, and we can sort of take this back into the idea of like, are we our thoughts, or are we the observer of our thoughts? And for me, that was a big part of the festival experience, is I was able to sort of like observe like the choices that I was making. Because what I think is really important in terms of the festivals and in terms of like this big picture as to why we're here is that we are learning how to use our free will. And I think like that's kind of like this theme that's sort of coming up time and time again, is that like that is like what makes us humans unique. You know, like we have all these like conscious experiences within us and everything, but ultimately there's this free will aspect, and that is like something that makes us like unique, because like we can really sort of like go one way or the other, and we can go and we can listen to our intuition, or we can ignore our intuition. Yeah, at the same time, ignoring our intuition is also like part of our path, because it will take us, regardless, there's no wrong way. You're still always going to be on the path, but the path can look very different depending on like how conscious you are of the choices that you're making. So I mean, for me, it was just kind of a cool opportunity to be able to just like acknowledge the synchronicities one after another after another. And from my own experience, those of you who are familiar with like what I get up to and everything like that, a big part of my own experience was networking, was connecting, and just being able to like meet the other people who are there, and being able to give out the shift buttons that I have. And the shift buttons, of course, they're the symbolic, they have the buttons with the symbolic imagery, and they have the link to the main website, which link people into this radio show and the bigger project. And so, you know, like I'm like going there, and I'm just sort of intuitively like, I only have, you know, like maybe 100 or so buttons, and there's like 1400 people there. So I sort of have to like pick and choose who I'm giving my buttons to. And I'm sort of like intuitively like just following my intuition and stuff. So, I mean, that was like a mission that I was on as like this elf guardian. Was just like, all right, like who am I here to connect with? And it was just this question that the only way to answer it was to live it, and was to go through that experience. And there's more that I've been reflecting on, just in terms of, again, being able to like observe and being able to learn more about like who I am as an individual. That was very, very beneficial for myself from this recent experience at the festival. But Chris, what any thoughts, just anything on that, or just like in terms of, you know, using like practicing free will, or just anything that you might have learned about yourself recently at the festival?
Well, I recently went through a breakup, and it was a really healing experience to be able to connect with my ex, and also just like let go of a lot of attachment, and experience the festival from a different perspective as well. Because it was the first year I wasn't with this person, so it was a lot different in a lot of ways, and enabled me to connect with a lot more people with a lot less expectations, mm-hmm. perhaps, on me from somebody else. Which made my days a lot more interesting, in terms of that I could just basically follow my intuition wherever I wanted to go and not have to necessarily... It can be an intense thing of being at a festival with a partner. Like, there's a lot of expectations and emotions that can come up. I was talking with some other people about that today, about how it definitely can... It can bring a lot of things to the surface, being at that, in that kind of environment. It can be overwhelming for a lot of people as well to feel that amount of acceptance and love, and like kind of the pressure to also feel like really open. It can be really intense for some people who maybe don't feel like they're necessarily in that space where they want to be that open. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting, like those dichotomies and the difference that I felt personally, and that I also know that other people go through as well, where it's like you're in this totally different kind of atmosphere that you're not used to per se, if it's not something you're kind of rolling with in your everyday life. And there's almost this like expectation to be joyously happy. And if you're not, how does that, like, does that mean you're not good enough or all these things? It's really interesting, that kind of thing. But for me personally, it was a really amazing experience to be able to just follow my intuition and go with the flow completely and just allow each day to unfold however it had to and just be totally open to whatever came up.
For sure, man. Yeah, and that's I can definitely draw some parallels there. I mean, for me, this festival experience this year was a lot different from what it was last year. And similar case, like last year, like I was there with a partner, and this year, you know, I arrived with things just being like more open-ended and everything. And it really created some opportunity for being able to connect with some people. And I enjoyed that freedom. I enjoyed just being able to like go out on my own and everything like that. And I mean, without even having to get like too much into like my personal story, because I mean, I think there's some things that are just like better off keeping to myself and everything. But like, I was fortunate. I feel very blessed to have connected with the people who I connected with and, you know, shared some like very, very like intimate moments in terms of like the intimate, like just on like the spiritual sense of things. And so I mean, that was like, you're right, like I think it's interesting the point that you brought up about like some people sort of like getting in this weird zone where like they may not feel entirely happy at a festival like this for moments at a time, and then they sort of like it creates this weird like conflict, this weird sort of like echo loop or something that goes on where they're just like, oh, I'm surrounded by people who are dancing and everything, and I should be dancing and I'm not dancing, and what the hell does this mean, and what am I feeling right now? And then again though, like that could be something where with a like a good space and a good like friend by their side can actually facilitate like a lot of healing. And that was like something that was actually like within my experience, was actually pretty much like just that happened to a friend of mine. And I can explain more about that later within like the relative context of things, but I do want to just open things up here because I think we got another person who may possibly be looking to join us on the air. Caller from area code 516, but they're not in the queue right now, so caller from area code 516, if you want to jump in on the show, just press 1 on your keypad and we'll know. And of course, just reminding other people who are wanting to be able to call into the show to please feel free to do so. Anybody who is listening to the show who was at the anybody who is listening to the show who is one of the participants at the OM Festival, we would love to hear from you a little bit about how this experience has
Solstice
changed
Festival.
You at the OM Festival, Solstice Gathering, Solstice Festival. Anybody who was there, please feel free to call in. And again, you can call in through the guest call-in number at 347-539-5493. And I think between the two of us and our friends who are listening, I'm sure we got some people who would be looking to call in. So we'll sort of set things up for that in the next few minutes. But just sort of coming to the top of the show, you know, one of the things that was really cool and also like very relevant going into this experience for me was the fact that like there's a song that you're performing with when you guys were doing your live performance on the Thursday night. And it was a song very much about being able to like work with spiritual medicines in a conscious way to be able to like facilitate opportunities for transcendental experiences, transdimensional experiences that can be very beneficial to like our spiritual growth and opening us up to this connection that we have with like the universe and ourselves and everything like that. And the song that I'm referring to is a song called One Pill, which is a reference to Jefferson Jefferson Airplane. I was going to say Jefferson Starship, which may be a thing in itself too. Jefferson Airplane. And we have that song that we're going to set up and we're going to play for the audience here. But as we sort of like come back from the conversation, and again, just opening things up to more people who are going to be able to join us in the discussion as well, I'd love to just be able to talk a little bit about like how these festivals are also, it's kind of interesting because it's kind of something that like, unofficially it occurs, and it's something that like is like underneath the surface, but it has to do with the fact that like these places are sort of ideal opportunities for people to be able to work with spiritual medicines. And that is like part of the experience. And again, it's something that sort of like happens like underneath the radar and everything like that. But I think bringing it up, at least for a moment, is very valuable. And at least for myself, because like a big part of my personal experience at this festival was the fact that like, and again, understanding that there's a very rare chance that my parents will tune into this and listen and so forth. But the fact that like this festival was like my first experience working with LSD. And that was like something where like going into it, I like knew that I was like going to be moving into that space. And again, being able to like hear your song kind of in the first night that I got there, it just sort of reminded me that like things were in alignment, and boy, did things ever align. And it was like an amazing, magical experience. And I'd love to share a little bit more about like what came out of that and why it was so important to be able to do it in a space such as these transformational festivals. But Chris, I'll pass it over to you, and I'd love for you to just be able to like set us up, and if there's anything else you want to say, and we'll share your song in the next moment.
Yeah, I think mind expansion is every person's right on this planet to be able to explore their consciousness how they see fit, as long as they're not hurting other people. The war on drugs has, I mean, I would say it's been a success in that its actual aim is to control people, to create a police state that polices our consciousness and what is acceptable that we can do to it. There's all kinds of chemical agents that people consume which are totally societally acceptable, such as alcohol and cigarettes and pharmaceutical drugs, which kill tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people every year altogether. And then there's this, you know, small fraction of banned substances that you can, if you are found with it by an agent of the state, you can spend take your freedom away from you. So having a space where you feel safe to be able to take that and you feel support. There's also at the festival Vibe Patrol and Sanctuary, where if you're having a bad experience, you can be taken care of in a loving way, in a compassionate way. And it's really important because, you know, there are some places you can go to with psychedelics specifically that can be really dark. It can bring up things inside of you, emotions, things in your subconscious that you may not want to deal with. And these medicines can bring them to the fore, and it can be really intense and really scary for a lot of people. So having that support of the community where it's not only acceptable to do it, almost everybody's doing it, there's a good chunk of people doing it, and then there's also a support crew, it's a really great opportunity for people to safely expand their consciousness and have some transformative experiences, healing experiences with them. And that was the intent behind the song One Pill. I've had amazing life-changing experience with psychedelics, ayahuasca, DMT, LSD, psilocybin, MDMA. All of them have had, you know, given me a different experience and helped give me a different outlook on reality, and really have that opportunity to connect to source and see the oneness that we are all a part of, and not just see it, but also feel it in a really heart-centered way, and really feel the connection, and dropping the egocentric viewpoint, the internal stories we tell ourselves, the story of I, me, and mine, dropping that and really having that intimacy within ourselves and that connection with other people, and seeing basically how everybody has the same commonalities, and treating people with kindness, respect, and compassion is like the most important thing in this life. The relationship you build with yourself and with your community and the other people you share this trip with and the planet itself, that's the reason why we're here, to learn those lessons, the lessons of love, lessons of compassion.
Mm-hmm. For sure, man. Yeah, that was well said. And yeah, I think, again, you know, reflecting back on why these festivals matter, like they're here for us to like learn how to love. And sometimes that means like removing the barriers that are in the way of us being love to begin with, and just sort of like tapping into that like divine remembrance that like love is like what we are to begin with. So yeah, there's a lot to be able to talk about more, and we'll get to that after this short break. So for those of you who want to check out this song for yourself and support Chris's work, you can check out more of his music at his Bandcamp, which is creality.bandcamp.com, and it's C as in the letter C-E-E /reality. reality.bandcamp.com, and I'll put the links for that into the comments in the show notes of this as well afterwards, but definitely check that out. And of course, you may remember him from the past when we had him on in association with Tesla Logic, and you can check out Tesla Logic with a K on the end of logic.bandcamp.com for more music that he's been working on. So with that said, we're going to take a quick break. Well, not even a break. We're going to take a moment here to really appreciate some amazing art that Chris has put together here to be able to share with us. And we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about some of my own personal experience working with LSD and what I got out of that, and a little bit more. And looking forward to hearing some more Omis calling into the show. So again, if you're one of the people who are attending the Solstice Festival, if Barbara is listening to the show, feel free to call in. So okay, guys, this is One Pill, See Reality. You're listening to Paradigm Shift Radio. Stay tuned. Enjoy.
About the rabbit hole, pack the chalice with salads, light the bowl, drop the acid, become the whole. It seems familiar, you've been here before, touch your soul. Now you're losing control, control you never had, relinquish it all. Fall into the dream world, the unseen world, make believe world, seems more real world. Aqua sky, teal world, LSD world, fractal DMT, machine world. Say hi to the elves, see your higher self, surrender to the most high, your mind starts to melt. Reality is felt, check the cards dealt. Open up your head, all your stories read. The past being bled, now your brain's being fed by the present moment, the memories are shed. See the past already dead, and the future never comes. If this moment shines bright, your heart a drop of the sun. The verse is one, a song sung by galactic harmonies on the tip of God's tongue. The trip just begun, now I'm feeling like a ton. Stuck to the earth, gravity a rung. Now I'm reaching for the next, see the pattern so complex. I'm lighter than a feather, flying on the breath, flying on the wind of the heavens I ascend. Crown chakra activated, I transcend. Cosmic energy, frequencies bend. Love vibrations is all that I send. Ride it to the end, the wounds on the mend. The doors of perception, they are cleansed. Fifth dimension, the magnitude immense. Pineal reception, third eye lens. One.
Through you, and this is reality. I can't tell you about. you can't see it, then you'll just never know it. I feel sorry for you.
All right, so that was One Pill by See Reality, and you're welcome back to Paradigm Shift Radio as we continue this conscious conversation here. And before that song, we were talking a bit about the value of the psychedelic experiences, the mind-expanding experiences when taken with conscious intent, and the value of being able to do them in safe spaces such as these transformational festivals. Now, obviously, like, different transformational festivals sort of have different vibes to them and everything like that. And with some of the ones that I've been to, including Lucidity Festival that happens in California, which, of course, those of you who haven't seen it yet, check out my YouTube at youtube.com/SkullBabylon, and you can find the movies that I'm working on, the two that have already been released, the Journey to Lucidity movies, and you can see a little bit about that experience. But that festival is, like, way bigger, and there's, like, a lot more sort of, like, going on and everything like that. And Ohm Festival is, like, a smaller number of 1,400, which is still a lot of people. And for me, like, it felt very, like, in tune to be able to do it at a place like this, you know, being in the forest, being amongst my friends, like, being there without having to worry too much about filming things. That was a big part of my experience at the festival this year. Those of you who know, like I said, oftentimes I'll go to festivals and the camera is, like, part of why I'm there, is to be able to document the shift in consciousness. Whereas, like, for me this time, it was very much about, like, me continuing the story that I had been creating through the previous movies, but to be able to, like, focus just on living it and experiencing it. And so that was why, like, I put the camera away, even though I did have the intention of filming some stuff. Evidently I was just like, all right, you know, like, in order to experience this without the camera, I have to experience this without the camera. So I did that, but the only time I took it out and I used my camera was actually to do a before and after of my experience with LSD. And like I said, it was my first time working with it, and other experiences that I've had. I've worked with, like, psilocybin growing up, you know, the first time I did mushrooms when I was, like, 18 and everything, and that was, like, very obviously, like, expanding and just opening up to the idea that reality, there's more to it than meets the eye. Basically, it's not as cut and dry as it appears to be. And eventually, like, going through experiences with DMT when I was 21, and now, you know, like, years later, finally getting around to the time of, like, working with acid, LSD. And for me, it was just, like, very important to be able to, like, wait for the right time to do it. And I'm glad that, like, that was, like, my first time doing it. Like, it felt, like, so right, and it was really in sync, and very much, very familiar. It was very, very interesting, like, going into it and stuff like that, because I already going into it, I'm just like, I think I got a pretty good idea of, like, what this is going to be like. And, like, as I got there, I was just like, oh yes, like, it's a very much, like, a familiarity, like, having experienced DMT with, like, open eyes, and working with, like, Syrian roots. So it lasted for, like, 30 minutes, so I was able to, like, walk around afterwards. It was kind of, like, similar to that, where, like, it's just, like, very familiar. And I'll just explain this real quick, and I'll pass it off to Chris, because I think one of the big terms in, like, the shift in the paradigm in terms of our perspectives on psychedelics is that a lot of times, like, culture sort of promotes this idea that the psychedelics are the hallucination, that they spark this hallucination within us. And it's this idea of making it seem that, like, our baseline reality is, like, what reality is actually like, and then everything else is a hallucination based on whatever drugs you're doing. But my sort of take on it, and others take on it as well, is this idea that, like, reality is actually far more hyperdimensional to begin with than we even realize. And right now we're experiencing it with a series of filters, and these filters are allowing us to, like, walk around and talk and be in this illusion of, like, gods with amnesia, so to speak, so that we can go through a process of remembering. And when we're working with things like LSD and psilocybin DMT, the portal is opening back up again, the gate is opening back up again, the filters are pulled back. So, like, that is sort of, like, my perspective going into this experience, is just, like, pulling back the filters and reconnecting with, like, our innate right to be able to experience reality through these different lenses of perception, through these different flavors, and some of them that are incredibly valuable to do so, because they reveal the beautiful intricacy of our interconnectedness. Chris, what do you think about that idea in terms of, like, these like these medicines like help pull back the filters. Does that make sense to you?
Definitely. I think there's actually been studies done where they've done MRIs on people while they're on a psilocybin experience, or maybe it was LSD. And the scientists were curious what parts of the brain would become active during a psychedelic experience. And what they were really surprised about was that instead of the brain becoming more active, it actually, parts of it started quieting down and shutting down. Not like a permanent shutdown, but basically like the activity actually slowed down. So it's exactly what you were saying, in that the filters, the activity that your brain is doing all the time, filtering your reality and your experience through this narrative of ego, start coming down. You actually start experiencing raw reality. And it's incredibly magical. And it's through, I'm a yoga teacher as well, through the yogic lens, it makes a lot of sense in that the ego, you can think of it almost like the self-defense for your biological entity. So, you know, you're walking, you know, we come from hunter-gatherers, you're walking through the forest, you have to be like, okay, like, there's predators here, there's all kinds of dangerous things, I have to be aware of who I am and that, you know, fire is hot, you know, be careful of dangerous animals. And in our more modern sense, you know, don't walk into the street, there's cars, you know, you have to have some separation. If you're in this sense of oneness, it can be dangerous as well. So the ego, it has a role to play for us in our lives, in that it's important to, you know, recognize your separateness from everything in order to protect yourself. The problem is that we live in an extremely abusive culture, which is traumatizing pretty much everybody all the time. And our ego protects us from these traumas and is, you know, for most of us, become our entire way of experiencing reality is through the egocentric viewpoint. And we start to believe and fully accept that that's who we are. We are our thoughts. We are that internal monologue. We are the collection of past memories up into this present moment. And for most people, they're not living their lives in the present moment. They're thinking or worried about things that happened in the past and are afraid of happening again in the future. And so there's this state of anxiety, this fight or flight kind of response that most people are constantly in, in that they're not actually experiencing the present moment. They're living in the past, worried about the future. And these medicines can help drop that down and reconnect you to the present moment. And that's where our lives are taking place right now. The future is never going to come. The past has already happened. Right now, this present moment is the only moment that has ever happened since the beginning of time, if such a thing occurred. And this is where true happiness comes from. True contentment comes from connecting to the present moment with as few barriers to it as possible, dropping all the fear and trauma. It's really hard, though, because people have so many scars because it's such a traumatic culture we live in, and we're taught such abusive, dominant value system where the idea that, you know, taking advantage of other people for your own benefit is not only encouraged but celebrated in our capitalist system. So there's a lot of people carrying a lot of pain, and it can be really hard to get to those spaces. But when you do, it really feel that connection with oneness, and that everything really is one, and that separateness is actually just an illusion that our mind creates.
Yeah, no, that was well said, man. That was well said. And I think, like, again, you know, like with these is that you're really sort of, you get out of them what you kind of like intentionally put into them and everything, and it's very easy for them to be abused, just like anything else. But when taken under good context and with like a little bit of knowledge going into it, and with the comfort of a community and everything, then these are super, super valuable. These are tools to be able to help us expand our consciousness. I mean, they are here like as consciousness, to be able to help consciousness wake up. You know, like, we didn't accidentally create LSD. Like, you know, the humans as consciousness like discovered it so that it could be integrated. So I mean, in some way it is like as natural as mushrooms in a sense, because it's just sort of like this continuation within like the timeline of consciousness, like exploring its own mind and everything like that. And again, you know, like with these experiences, like what just kind of like looking into what my own experiences were with it. You know, like basically I went into it and just, it was like me with my one friend, and we just like went off like way off to the side of the festival. And like, I really just like took a moment there to like really meditate and really just sort of like take, like to humble myself and to be like, thank you, the universe, like for this, like, thank you. Like, this is, you know, something that I've like patiently been waiting for the right time for. And I know that this will be like a gift in many ways. And I embrace like whatever will come out of this. And then, so I mean, when you do LSD, like you just take it and you put it on your tongue and it dissolves like into the membrane of your tongue and everything like that, the mucus membranes. And basically it takes about 40 minutes to start to set in. And as I was like doing that and stuff, one of the things like you sort of look for is the reality begins to like feel different. And just sort of jumping ahead and everything like that, one of the things that I sort of got out of the full experience was this idea of like, I was like, wait, you know, like going back to the theory that this is like it is reopening the gate, if we were to use that metaphor, you know, like these substances, they open the gate. I'm just like, once I got there, I'm just like, yeah, like this is pretty familiar. Like I know what this space is before, because I've opened up this gate in different ways. And one of the ways that we can naturally open up the gate is like through things such as like open-eyed meditation. And like that was like one thing I was just joking with my friend. I'm like, yeah, I think people in the future, eventually they won't even need to take LSD. They'll just like eye gaze with one another, and it will sort of like get them into that zone, at least momentarily, when they're sort of in that place of stillness and stuff. But yeah, just going into a little bit of my own experience, you know, like as reality sort of start to shift it and stuff, it was really interesting. This is like right where the synchronicity is like kicked in off the bat for me. Me and my friend were like way off to the side by where the pond is, and just give people listening from festival some context. So it was over by where the pond was, and we were just like standing there watching the very last of the sunset, and I was like starting to feel it set in and everything like that. I was starting to see like more like auras around the trees and stuff. And then like as we were there, literally just as it was like kicking in, like we like saw these people walking towards us in the field, and we were just like, okay, you know, like who could that be and stuff like that. And then by the time they like got close to us, it was obvious that they were actually like locals who were trying to sneak into the festival. And like, this is something that happens, you know, like with the festival taking place there. And then they were kind of like talking to us and everything like that, and they were just like, hey, you know, like how do we get to the party and everything like that. And then me and my friend, like right away, we sort of like clicked into guardian mode. And again, for me, it was interesting going back and like observing everything that I did on LSD almost from a third person perspective, where like I was the person like doing everything, but I was also like observing myself doing everything, and everything that was coming through me was like this natural flow. Like there was very little resistance, like everything was just very natural. And we sort of like said to them right away, we're just like, well, if you guys are looking to go there, first you're going to need to go over to that to the tent over there. And you know, we're pointing basically to like the main gate entrance tent where some of the security was and stuff like that. And there was like seven of them, and they pretty much just were just like, one of the guys is like, oh, we can show you, like I can show you my ID. I'm just like, dude, I don't need to see your ID and stuff like that. And so, you know, we pointed them off to that tent, and then like as soon as they sort of walked away, we were just like, they're not going to that tent. But then like right away, me and my friend, like we got into this guardian mode. And for me, it was just like, okay, like we could just stay here and chill out and totally just like be in our own space. But like right now we have the opportunity to make a slight difference. So then, you know, we both had our bow staffs, and we were walking around with our bow staffs, which was a huge thing in itself later into the experience, spinning bow staff for me. But, you know, and we went and we like found the security, and we like talked to the security, and we were just like, hey, like just let you know, like these guys, like, you know, from out of town came here, and they probably just snuck past you guys and you didn't even notice. And they were just like, okay, thanks, we're going to let people know. And that's part of security's job, and they have to take care of them and, you know, deal with it however they have to deal with it. But it was funny, because like as I was talking to the security guard, I'm just like, all right, let's go talk to the security guard, high on LSD. And I'm just like, yes, I can do this. Like, I'm like more in the zone than ever and everything like that. And it was just, yeah, that was like one of the first synchronicities of the experience, where like the universe presented this opportunity where it was like a microcosm of a macrocosm, where it reflected this like guardian archetype and experience within my reality. And eventually, you know, like they did manage to like find the guys and stuff like that. So we did manage to make some difference. But, Yeah, I'll just take a break there and pass it over to Chris. Chris, like maybe if there's any personal experiences that you wanted to share from this festival. I mean, you haven't alluded to what like if you worked with anything or not, but if there are any other experiences, maybe specific from the festival that you'd be open to sharing, please by all means.
Yeah, I was actually able to delve into the medicines, a few different types. A little bit of psilocybin, a little bit of LSD, and a little bit of MDMA, different nights. Each one offered different openings of different parts of myself, which were really nice. I took it pretty gentle on the medicines. I find more and more for me, I think, which is important in the context of the festivals, is the integration process of the experiences you have. I think one of the problems of festival culture is people chasing that experience and craving the mystical experience and relying on the substances to get you there. I think it's really important to have a disciplined practice, such as meditation or yoga, to integrate those experiences and not to rely on the medicines for them. I think that's a key thing. So for me, they're always like a reminder. I've had really powerful experiences with ayahuasca and DMT and gone to some really mind-expanding places. And I don't necessarily feel like a festival is the place where I want to go to the deepest levels. So I take it pretty gentle with those now. I do definitely indulge in them and with respectful, intentful purposes of healing and love as my main intentions. Pretty much every psychedelic experience I go on is with that as my main intention. But yes, definitely feel comfortable and great to go into those spaces, but very gently, because it is a lot of energy you open up to, and there's a lot of people and a lot of different energy, and it can be overwhelming. So I also have that very nurturing and protective feeling of guardianship, as you were saying before. And I definitely feel being able to hold space for other people who go through experiences that might be overwhelming is really important too. I was able to connect with somebody really great after they had a really intense experience with some medicines as well. And being able to talk through it was very helpful for them. And it was a really great way to connect with them and really share some intimacy and deepness. And like I say, it's very important, I think, is the integration process afterwards, being able to mm-hmm. if sometimes you have a intense experience that some might describe as a bad trip, it's really important to be able to talk about it and to go through it and try and understand it and understand the lesson it might have for you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really great to be able to hold space for other people in those situations as well. And so that's definitely something I value, and that was a really great moment for me during the festival, was being able to hold space for somebody else.
Yeah, I totally agree with that last sentiment about being able to hold space for others. And again, yeah, like I was fortunate enough to be able to have an experience with that within my own experience with LSD. And like that was actually, you know, there was a moment in the festival when I cried. And it was at that moment, and it was just like a single tear. And I'll just sort of explain this to you, because again, you know, like I said, my experience with LSD and the experience of the festival in general, it really gave me a chance for me to like observe myself from a higher perspective, to see like who I am, you know, like what choices do I make in a given situation. And there was a situation where, again, like the friend who I was with, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, they were working with their own substances, but they're in this place, in this headspace where they were like just watching everybody else dance and they weren't dancing. And then they got like really sad. They were just like, why aren't I dancing when I should, like, why aren't I happy when I should be happy? And they just sort of like began to get into this part of the part of themselves where they were just like feeling that edge of release, and they just like weren't fully tapped into it and stuff there. And they were with me like my entire experience, but at that moment they were just like, you know, like they said to me, like, I just want you to like go have fun, you know, like don't worry about me, just like I don't want me to get in the way of like you having a good trip and stuff like that. And like at that moment, like I'd just been off like dancing off to the side, and I came back and I sort of saw them in this space. And I sat down to them and everything like that. And I was just like, first of all, you know, just holding space and just being like, if there's anything you want to talk about, you have permission to. If there's anything you want to say, you have permission to. And then like when they sort of said, you know, like don't worry about like sticking around with me and stuff like that. Like I said to them, I'm like, you know, for me, my LSD experience isn't just about like partying and dancing and everything like that. It's about like the realness of whatever comes my way. And in that moment, I was just like, I would rather be able to like be of assistance and be able to like assist you in whatever way I can, opposed to just like going off and like doing my own thing. And I kind of like worded it in a certain way, but when I said it like that way, like with that heartfelt intention of being able to be like, you know, like yes, as humans, we want to party and we want to dance, but when we see someone else, a fellow human who is like suffering, it is like our natural reaction and our instinct to be able to go out of our way and to help that person when we can and how we can, just by holding space. And so for me, you know, like I was just like, okay, like let's go do what we got to do and everything like that. And like, so again, like when I sort of expressed that to them, that I would rather stay with them than just go off and party and dance, like that was equally as valuable experience. Like there was like I cried, like there's a tear that came out of my eye. And like for me, that sort of echoes the fact that like that was like a very like coming from a real place. I was like coming from the heart, and it's sort of like the emotions became like very visceral in that moment. So like that was a very powerful moment within my LSD experience, regardless of like the stuff that I saw, the crazy visuals, which I'll get more into a little bit later in terms of like meditating on LSD and why I wanted to do that. But being able to see my actions and observe my actions, and just being able to observe like my natural compassion towards a fellow human, which again is something that's inside of all of us, and that is why like these experiences at a place like this, at a festival, is incredibly valuable, because it does contain the ups and the downs, but it's definitely a place where there's constant alchemy, and we are the wizards of our own domain, and we have the opportunity to sort of change things in a moment, and things happen very fast at a festival. And just to sort of wrap up that story, eventually me and my friend, we got back to the tent, and basically like she was just sitting underneath, the sun was starting to rise, the sky was getting light, and it was just starting to rain. And then basically like I was like with her, and I basically just like helped give her permission for herself to be able to like cry, like just as it was starting to rain. So she was like, she became the storm basically, and you know, and she had that release and everything. And then it was cathartic, but it was good. Like, it was very important. It was very, you know, the sadness within our reality is a very important thing in order for us to be able to be, like, happy in different ways. So, like, we need to go through sadness because oftentimes that, like, reflects what it is that we care about, what it is that we're passionate about. And, again, we can see more of ourselves when we realize, like, what it is that is affecting us in those very real human ways. So, yeah, that was just another part of my experience. And just going off of what Chris was saying as well, like, I think that's, that was very, very special for me to go through that. Chris, I'll just pass it off to you if there's anything you have in mind.
You got to feel it to heal it.
Totally, man.
That's my, one of my mantras for sure in terms of body work and emotional, spiritual work is, it may be uncomfortable, like, through, like, the process of yoga and things like this, going into painful parts of the body, but ignoring it doesn't help the situation. And so part of the process of healing is actually feeling the pain that you're holding on to and giving it space to be released. And feeling it is the first step, and just acknowledging it, giving it space to be felt. And part of that from the yogic meditative perspective is just being with the sensations in the body, just feeling the sensations, how they feel. How does sadness feel inside you? Like, sadness or anger, any emotion, it often we're, again, filtering it through our own experiences, our own past memories, and you're sad because this and this happened. But what does sadness just feel like in and of itself? What does it feel like inside your body? What are the physical sensations you have when you're sad or when you're angry? And just sitting with the actual physical sensation is a really powerful way to try and disconnect your story from that and just let your body have the opportunity to take it in and release it and not get so carried away with the mind. The mind is such a powerful tool, and for many of us, it can be our worst enemy as well. And you can go in a spiral of negativity through your mind So actually connecting with the process of the physical process of emotions is, I think, is a really key part and a really great way to handle and cope and deal with intense emotions and not let the mind overpower your internal world with its monologue and dictatorial storytelling. And I think it's a really key thing is just actually fully feeling those emotions. And for me as well as an artist, like Tesla Logic, we're very radical in our politics and we express a lot of rage and a lot of anger. And it's interesting because at the festival it's all peace and love mostly, but a lot of people afterwards came up and were very thankful for the sentiments and the feelings we were bringing up as well. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of integration and peace and love, like anger is part of that and anger should be felt. If you love things, for me, I love the planet and it's being destroyed every day by greedy people. And that makes me angry because I love so fiercely that when the thing I love is being destroyed, it makes me angry. And anger is a valid emotion. But for me personally, though, I don't want to use anger as my battery. For me, love is the most important thing for my personal life, because anger, if you hold on to it internally, it's not healthy for you as a person either. So expressing it and getting it out, I think, is really important because it's a legitimate emotion and we shouldn't pretend that the bad things aren't happening. And just like a lot of more in the hippie kind of mentality is if you pay attention to things, you give them power. And there is some validity to that as well, but there's also a lot of privilege in that statement, in that a lot of people in the West have the privilege of maybe creating spaces where they don't have to think about the bad things, while lots of people around the world don't have that privilege. And it's not just because they didn't think positive enough thoughts that they're in really fucked up situations. It's because of a whole interlocking system of hierarchies across the planet that put people in these really horrible situations. So expressing that and expressing anger, expressing sadness is a really important thing in terms of moving fully into the love, which encompasses all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, man. And like, I just going back to your performance to put people back in the experience of the festival, I really liked what you guys did, where you had that one song as explicit as it was, called What the Fuck. And I liked how you sort of set it up, you know, where you were just like collectively doing it almost like a group meditation to be able to like release this energy, to be able to just like do whatever we need to do with it. Because you're right, like if we don't recognize it, if we let it sort of just like billow inside of us, then that can actually transform into like physical ailments in some ways. So you sort of preface the song by just like getting everybody who is in the hive stage at that point to just like, you're just like, you know, like think about any of the things that just like, you know, that are just like want to make you say what the fuck about this world and stuff like that, but then like use that as like a motivation for the drive that will like lead all of us towards changing it, and then making that into the song. That was very cool, man. And I think, again, you know, reflecting on like why these festivals matter, like these festivals matter because they are bringing people together who are very like actively involved in being helped change the world. A lot of us, you know, we go there and we party and we connect and stuff, but then a lot of us are going back already to our communities and we're already like engaged with some awesome initiatives going on, whether it's just like creating more art, whether it's just like how we carry ourselves on a daily basis, whether like we're teaching yoga classes, whether, you know, again, encouraging people to create like a paradigm shift community where they are and be an admin for that. Like that, there's so many awesome opportunities that we have to be able to help change the world, and these festivals are just like boosting us and encouraging us to come together to be like, yes, we have made it this far, let's like have some more energy created in this vortex and then like go back and change the world, because like that is our real mission. Our real mission is to be able to help depending on who you ask, but I would say like a big part of our mission is to be able to help bring more love into this world and just like help alleviate the suffering of it.
I'd agree 100%, and it was one of the things that's really great for me is that a lot of my activist and anarchist friends are coming to the festival mm-hmm. now. As more of us go, we spread how great it is, and, you know, the anarchists and activists sometimes have this, like, you know, almost disdainful kind of look towards the more hippie community, and there's so many commonalities. And there's almost like, you know, it's a privilege kind of thing to be able to go and heal. But it's just so important. And I love how many people are coming out and experiencing it. One of a very inspiring woman, friend of mine, she was there and she's working on this amazing project. She was sending out texts while she was there She's doing this amazing project called Empower Gaza, where she just helped raise over $200,000 to install solar panels in hospitals in the Gaza Strip in occupied Palestine. And she is one of the most hardcore people I know in terms of drive. She's a documentary filmmaker. She's made The Carbon Rush, all types of just amazing projects she's on. And then I get to see her at the festival just like not only working, but then also having an amazing time. And it's just a great thing to be around all these people that I work with and organize with and struggle with, who often it's really intense things that are being organized around police brutality, immigrant rights, migrant rights, you know, all different types of struggles against capitalism and the police state. And often so many people are so stressed when they're together, trying to get something together, trying to organize events. It's just great to be able to take time to celebrate together and have that space of healing and joyfulness. And I think it's really appreciated by a lot of those people in the activist community as well, to have the space where we can just like, yeah, celebrate. And on that note, I'm going to have to log off because I have a wonderful dinner waiting for me right now.
Awesome.
And much respect and love, brother. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Awesome, man. Thank you again. And yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, man. It's inspiration all around. So that's what we're here to do, right? Just keep on inspiring one another. So.
And I'll just leave it off on one thing. I just went to roll through Pedestrian Sunday in Kensington Market, and I was rolling up Augusta, and it was raining, and there's hardly anybody there. But then I got to Augusta and Nassau, and I saw in the rain a circle of about maybe a dozen people, almost all of them from the Ohm Festival, good friends, all dancing in the rain to a DJ, and then like brilliant Maracatu Maraberto came up Augusta drumming, and we just had this amazing dance party, and you could just feel the magic. And so many of the people there were from Ohm, and there's just this amazing magic that still flows through everybody. And it's great to see it still in the city. And Kensington PSK is one of the great things. Love to share that. There's a lot of magic there. Happy Pride to everybody. It's so great to see that love is being accepted in all its forms all around the world.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And yeah, that was something, you know, I sort of alluded to at the beginning, but like huge shout out to the shift in consciousness with the recent news about just like marriage being, you know, like opened up all across the states. Like that's an amazing thing. And that's a big like microcosm in the macrocosm. So
for sure. So yeah. Keep celebrating the love, keep fighting for justice and equality until the liberation of all beings. That's what we're here to do.
Awesome, man. All right. Thanks again, man. And I'll let people know where they can find you, and, have fun and enjoy your dinner, and much love.
Much love, brother. Peace out.
Peace. Awesome, guys. All right. So, again, that was Chris from Tesla Logic, and you can check out his stuff at Tesla Logic with a K, .bandcamp.com, and also his individual stuff at reality.bandcamp.com. And if you run those searches on Facebook, you will also be able to find him there. And yeah, I know a lot of you are already familiar with his work, and he is just one of the many amazing co-creators who took part at the Ohm Festival. And that was like just such an amazing part of it. It was just like all of these people who are just like engaged as artists and musicians. I mean, the amount of music that was there that weekend, there's the stages were pretty much between like once they got going Friday and throughout Sunday, like there were parts where for the most part, like they were running like 24/7. They might have switched it down to like ambient tracks at some points, but like it was amazing. So you had the opportunity of just like, you know, it's like 7 a.m. in the morning, be like, oh, what? You want to start off your day with like drum and bass? Then you just go to drum and bass and you just like throw it down hard and everything like that. And for me, like that was a big part of my experience, is that I've been able to like really get into dancing in a lot of ways. And dancing is a very like transcendental experience. And that was like so awesome. And again, like the friend who I was with, she's like really good at dancing, so that was really inspiring to see her just like throwing it down hard. And I was just like, hell yeah, like, you know, like let's do this. And I think like just like through us throwing it down hard, other people saw that, and then they started throwing it down hard, and then that's kind of how inspiration works in a lot of ways. So I want to be able to invite more people onto the show who were specifically at the Solstice Festival, and I know we do have a surprise guest in the queue who wasn't at the Solstice Festival, and I'm just going to keep things open because I think we have our friend Maddie Sixfish who is going to be able to join us in the next little bit. And some of you know Maddie, who were at the festival, very, very awesome guy, very stands out in a crowd. And I think that's the kind of the cool thing is that, you know, like when we attend festivals like this and then we bring that energy back, we can find different ways to like stand out of the crowd in our own communities and things like, you know, wearing sacred geometry on us and stuff like that. And I guess I should say this before the clock hits zero. But those of you who are familiar, you know that we have the Open Your Heart shirts available through the community. And those are actually only available for, I apologize, only 20 more minutes. And you can check those out at teespring.com/openyourheart. And again, they have the Flower Life Sigil on it. And it says Open Your Heart underneath. And these are more than just shirts. They are tools to be able to help evoke synchronicity and shift consciousness. So I think Maddie is actually with us already. So Maddie, I'm going to add you into this call. So if you just want to pause your blog talk real quick, I'm going to do that. And we'll continue a little bit about this conversation and hear more about what this Solstice Festival experience was to us as consciousness. So with that said, I'm going to bring on, hold on, Maddie. Blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Awesome. All right. 1 second, you guys. All right, and it's dialing in, and oh wait, I think I called the wrong person. How do I cancel that? Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm going to try this again. okay, here we go. There we go, perfect. All right, so Maddie, if you're ready, we're bringing you into Paradigm Shift Radio, I think. Hopefully this works. There we go.
Hello.
Hello, Maddie, you're here.
yeah, it's working.
Awesome, man.
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome. Welcome for joining us in this sacred digital space that we got going on. You're most welcome.
It's truly my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Awesome, man. Well, I know you just sort of you just sat down not too long ago, so you didn't hear too much at the beginning of the show. Chris and I, we covered quite a bit.
Unfortunately, I'm out of the loop in that respect.
Yeah. Well, long story short, you know, we were just talking about how amazing the festival was. We opened up about talking about the value of psychedelic experiences within a safe space like this, and just everything. But I mean, there's a lot more to the story, and I just love to be able to pass the talking stick over to you and for you to just be able to share with the people, let them know why a festival like this is important and how it has affected and changed your reality in one way or another.
Okay, that's a big bite to try and chew on, but I'll try and make it piece by piece so it's a bit more accessible. Basically, this kind of, I want to call it a culture that it creates within us is something that is missing in the everyday, and it's something that a lot of people aren't connected to or just don't know exists. So by going to these kind of places and experiencing the kind of true being that it can give, I feel like it's a indispensable experience that would just burst people's bubbles and get them to realize that the life they're currently living is maybe not necessarily their optimal level of vibration and existence. So for me, I think that everybody needs to experience it at least once to know if it's something for them or not, because some people definitely may not resonate with it quite as strongly as others. Everybody is going to be shaken by it. Everybody needs to be shaken up a little. So I think that it's just necessary.
Maddie, it's getting a little bit choppy there. If you just want to repeat what you just said, it's about being necessary, I believe.
Okay, so what I was trying to get into is that this is an earth-shaking experience that may scare you at first, but it's something that everybody needs to go through. Everybody needs a little shaking up and a purge every now and then just to get through old blockages and mm-hmm. allow space for new growth. And I think by being confronted with life in such a head-on way, it's one of the best ways that I've found of really progressing internally and being able to take a step back and look at elements of my life and my reactions to external stimulus that may not necessarily be how I should be.
Yeah, and I've had similar conversations coming up recently, just like the importance of, again, just bringing more mindfulness into our day-to-day
lives. I'm not sure if that was able to get through to you guys clearly.
That was. I think you explained that
fine. I hope
it
did.
You bring up a good point. You're right. Like, you know, the idea of just like being able to observe whatever old or current patterns we may have within us. And that's like the step towards being able to change them and being able to move from like reaction to like conscious choice making. And again, being able to like have more free will over our free will was something I was kind of alluding to earlier, instead of just being these like driven by biological impulse all the time. Is there anything, Maddie, that you want, I mean, in terms of like how this festival can shake people up, is there anything that you want to share from your personal experiences this time or another time of how it's done that for you and how it's benefited? If you're still with us. I think we might have lost Maddie real quick. I think Maddie is just going to call in with his phone, actually. So we are going to give him 2 seconds. And as we're just waiting for Maddie, so let me just confirm with him. Yeah, he just got calling off his phone, but it wasn't too bad on Skype. Okay, so we're just going to bring, I believe this is Maddie, onto the show. So area code 514, we're going to bring you onto Paradigm Shift Radio. Hello.
Sorry about that.
Back. No problem, man. All right,
I guess the phone is being temperamental.
Oh, this works too, so good call. Before going back, I just wanted to say, with 15 minutes left in the show, if there are any females who would love to call in, we would love to hear from you guys. And again, call in with a regular phone number at area code 347-539-5493. But yeah, Maddie, I was just, I'm not sure if you heard, and I'll just ask again real quick. Is there anything relative to your personal experiences of this year or other years where things have been shook up for you and like how that's benefited from, that's benefited you out of it?
Well, this year that's just gone by, this current level of existence has been quite a tumultuous one before I actually got to the festival, so it's been a difficult headspace to kind of like get out of and get into the real things of life. But the space of the festival allowed me to really take a step back and overview and take a rational approach as opposed to an emotional one. A lot of us were living on such an emotional level with quick reactions and not really thinking through that we can actually come to better conclusions ourselves just by taking 3 breaths before answering a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, man. And another topic that recently came up in one of our Paradigm Shift London meetings was the idea of just changing our relationship with our ego. I think there's phases that we go through, but I think one thing that we want to move it towards is the idea of being able to like sculpt our ego, whatever that means specifically to people. But understanding that, you know, the ego is like the part of ourselves within the forest who chooses what we want to like express ourselves as. And I think like that's a very important thing, because like that is like what makes us shine within our uniqueness. Yet if it is a humble ego, then that ego can still be able to like be like, yes, this is who I am, and I see you for who you are. I'm just passing the talking stick around, Maddie, if you had any thoughts on that, if that makes sense to you.
I definitely concur with that statement. A lot of the times we see ego as something to try and escape from completely, but to do that would be to imbalance ourselves. So basically it's all about trying to find the balance between all the different components of our internal chemistry as well as our reactions to external stimulus. And the uh, hmm, hmm. it's important to just acknowledge that, because a lot of the times we'll have these kind of thoughts and desires, and then either repressing it and bottling it up, or just letting it kind of get to us in a different and unproductive way. I think by having the freedom of expression that being in the forest allows, it gives you the opportunity to find that balance yourself instead of being told what it is.
Yeah, that's true. I like that. Just being able to like know that there's a part of us inside of ourselves that can take care of ourselves. And it's good that we have like our mirrors of reflection constantly around us. But yeah, mm-hmm. like there's a lot of wisdom that we have inside of us, and festivals like this like help us, are helping remind us of that. I was just going to say, like, you know, in terms of, we were talking earlier about how, like, this festival was my first experience, like, working with LSD, and just, like, how important and how valuable that was for me. There's a lot to that story, but I just kind of wanted to, like, touch upon this real quick before we run out of time. But one of the things mm-hmm. that I was really, really interested in with LSD when I was on it, again, you know, I sort of looked at it as, like, this opportunity where I'm like, all right, the gate's open. You know, like, time is of the essence here. Like, this will, like, the gate will close again, in sort of like that particular chemical sense. But what I was really drawn to was the idea of just like being able to like sit down and meditate well on like LSD. And I think like that is like what is incredibly valuable about these psychedelic you know, allies, is being able to like explore the inner spaces while working with them. And what I got out of it, my first experience, like when I closed my eyes, was amazing, because it didn't really happen until I was like walking with my friend, my ally, my partner at the time. And I gave her a hug, you know, and when I first gave her a hug and I closed my eyes, like immediately, like within my mind's eye, my third eye, like it was this beautiful visualization of what I can best describe as like two ripples hitting together, and then like creating a third geometrical Mandela pattern out of that. And it was sort of like a vesica Pisces, like rippled out. And like I could draw this to you, and like I saw this within like my vision and everything. And what I was seeing was like the energetic nature of reality being like perceived on like multiple levels, because, you know, we don't just see with our eyes, like we see with our entire body. And again, we're in like this ocean of energy, and something like LSD really helps you experience this viscerally. And just like saying this real quick, and I'll pass it back to Maddie for any thoughts as well, is again, you know, like when I had the opportunity to sit down and meditate, it was really interesting for me, because I got to viscerally experience like the hyperdelic nature of reality and that space within our own minds where thoughts are creating. And I got to observe how focus can like send things through like this fractal Mandelbrot inside of us that will like help direct and help create things with intention. And basically, like I was creating, like I was still very much me. I was still very much like in control. I was very much able to observe. So I was like, all right, you know, like let's create like a crystal city of light. And I was like doing that in my mind, and through what I was seeing in my like inside was like exactly what I was thinking. So like I was thinking things and they were manifesting right in front of me, which again draws back this like bigger realization that like this too is a dream. And the important thing out of that is understanding that like everything is a dream relative to the concept that we are the creators within it, and our thoughts are constantly creating. And as you think, social you become. And that's why I think these festivals are so beneficial, because they're helping people experience this in a very literal way. So part of my LSD experience was super valuable, because I got to viscerally observe almost from a scientific perspective, and take part in like realizing like how my thoughts were creating reality. And I spent some time like meditating on just like making the world a better place. I like envisioned like grids and just like light beams around the earth, and I like encoded it into the earth with intention. And that was just something I felt like called to do. But that was like a part of my experience, was again like going inside and realizing that is like an equally important part of our journey. So Maddie, I'll pass it back over to you if there's anything you'd like to add or contribute, or just new topics in general.
Well, that's really beautiful, and it's really amazing that you were able to touch upon the depth of the possibilities of the experience in your first time. A lot of people don't have the right set and setting in order to fully transcend and break through, and I'm very happy that you were able to do so. Your revelations about your mind's eye, visualizations of your actual thoughts is something that I've touched upon too as well. And at first I thought I was the only one who had that, it's not a gift, but just the capacity to direct their energy towards that intention and make it happen, as opposed to just enjoying the pretty colors and fractal shapes that slowly unfold in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Touching upon first-time experiences, I had the honor of experiencing the spirit molecule for my first time this solstice. And touching upon your notion of the core base of things, how you and your partner were just ripples, like that's what you were, your essence. I was staring into the face of a dear friend of mine, and her facial features disintegrated, and all I saw was a soul. It was just reminding me of the base nature of all things around us, that everything is connected and everything is just part of a bigger whole. We're not separate.
Yeah, and that's why, like, you know, just us talking about this on the radio show is valuable, because this is documenting and letting people know that these experiences are very real. Like, these festivals are more than just people going there and dancing in the woods for, you know, a week long and stuff, and doing more than that, obviously. But there's very, very real transdimensional experiences that are taking place in these sacred spaces. And through that, again, you know, like, we open up to the bigger picture of who we are, and tap into more of our manifestation potential within this reality. So by, like, us doing this at the festival, all of us are experiencing this, and by one of us growing, we all grow. So for those of you who are even just listening to this, like, you can get, like, inspiration and just, like, vibes out of us sharing our stories. And, you know, again, be patient and everything will come to you at the right time. And when the time comes, just, like, approach it with, like, intention and gratitude and humility, and you will get, like, incredibly, you'll get exactly what you need to get out of it. I will just say, we do have another caller who's in the queue calling in from area code 281, and I'm not exactly sure if they want to be brought on, but with only a few minutes left in the show, we might just try bringing them on anyways. Caller from area code 281, I'll give you a few more seconds to press 1 on your keypad, and if you do, that will make me know for sure if you want on, and if not, we'll try anyways and we'll just go with the flow. But I really appreciate, Maddie, you being here, and I will say, for those of you who are curious and who saw me on post on Instagram and even on Facebook, there was a group picture that I posted of a bunch of us, and that was taken on the very last day before we left, and the tall fellow in the back, that's Maddie. So he, like I said, he stands out in the crowd in an incredibly beautiful way. So,
representing the kind giants of this earth.
Yes.
Thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Awesome, man. And we do have our caller from Erico 281. And Maddie, we have only a few minutes. We'll keep you on. You're welcome to stay on. And we'll just roll right into this. So, caller from Erico 281. We're going to bring you on to Paradigm Shift Radio. Here we go. Hello, caller. Hello, caller.
Hi.
Welcome to Paradigm Shift Radio. What name would you like to go by, and where are you calling from?
Hi, yes. My name is Samadhi. Samadhi Love, and I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Awesome. Well, Samadhi, were you by chance at the solstice gathering, or is there anything else that you would like to share?
No, I was not at the gathering, but I just joined your website recently this week, and I just fell in love with your group, and I got the email today, so I just wanted to call in and thank you so much for doing this radio show and for bringing these topics to the public. I think it's very important. I'm the director of Ecstatic Dance Evolution in Houston. And we've been dancing, you know, for peace, love, freedom, joy, transcendence, healing for 11 years now. And we have a beautiful community here. We love the festival scene, and we're part of that as well. Anyway, I just wanted to call and express my gratitude to you guys and you ladies out there. It's beautiful, and I'm just thrilled that the young culture is really immersed in these kind of topics and these kind of experiences, so that, you know, as a whole, we're really discovering who we are as human beings and conscious beings. So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Thank you as well for calling in. And that actually, like, brings up an important reminder for what I got out of this festival, and a huge is just like going back to the idea that all of us are growing out of this, including like the male and female energies, the yin and the yang. And that is like an amazing thing to see at these festivals from year to year, is just like the empowered women who are attending and who are just like really stepping into these amazing, like world changing goddesses that they are. And you know, like there's, you're surrounded by princesses, like everyone there is like this prince and a princess sort of thing, whether they realize it or not. But some of the females there like boldly stand like into their empowerment, and it is just like a humbling thing to be around. And from my own personal experience, like I am so grateful that like that is like how I got to spend my time, was like with a very beautiful princess who is, you know, some very nice yawn to my yin, or yin to my yang. I always get mixed up, but that was Samadhi, if there's anything you want to add on that as a female, just any messages or anything, by all means.
Thank you. Yeah, that is a wonderful message. We need each other. The yin needs the yang. The yang needs the yin. We can't. It can't be any other way. So, you know, in the recent times with the rise of the goddess, the rise of the divine feminine, my message is always, you know, hey, women, let's remember our men and let's bring them up. You know, as we're moving up, we need to bring them up. We need you guys. No doubt about it. And so we really honor and respect your respect, you know, for the rise of the divine feminine. And I just want you to know that I stand fully behind, you know, the rise of the divine masculine as well. So that's where we are.
Awesome. And Maddie, is there anything else you want to add in on that topic, by all means?
You pretty much encapsulated my thoughts exactly. I'm proud of everybody for shining, really. The atmosphere there and the possibility of freedom gives people the choice to either be who they are or be shy until they realize, no, I'm going to just do this and express my inner self. One of the amazing things about this particular festival is all the workshops. There's one workshop about child play and how we can revolutionize the schooling system. And basically you go through a 2-hour workshop being led by an instructor and you are the child. And this year that just went by, we did a talent show and everybody got to express that inner self that always just been a little too shy to peek its head out and see the light. And it was so amazing to look at adults and children just being exactly who they are, doing exactly what they feel is right, in a respectful way, of course. And it's just incredible. Like, awesome. If everybody had a chance to feel that way, how different the world would be.
Totally. Awesome. Well, guys, I'll thank you so much again, and thank you to everybody who's tuned in. Time is of the essence, and we're wrapping this episode up now as we speak. But again, I just want to encourage and remind people, for those of you who have been at festivals or otherwise, and you're asking that question, you know, like, how can we like take this energy further? I always invite and encourage people to get involved with the Paradigm Shift Central Project, in specific, being able to put the energy towards creating physical paradigm shift communities where you are. And that means having open-minded discussion and meditation circles. So either add me on Facebook, facebook.com/skullbabylon, enter your email into the main website, and you'll get notification about the beta access for Paradigm Shift Central LiveNet, which I'll be working on very soon, some more. So that'll be going up live very shortly. And again, check out solsticegathering.ca for more about that. And 3DL Gathering, you can check that out coming up in August at 3DLgathering.com if you're looking for another festival to attend. That one's in North Carolina, and huge shout out to them. And just thank you so much for everyone being a part of this. We'll give away some buttons next week. Stay tuned for that. And with that said, I'll get our friends here to join us in saying farewell as we wave goodbye to the internet. So Maddie and Samadhi, join me in saying farewell to the internets once again. So thank you so much, internets. Bye.
Farewell, internet.
Loving you.
Brendan, I just want to thank you for your light work here. You got to keep it up and keep showing people that it's just within their grasp.
Mm.
They just got to reach out.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Well, we got a good team of mirrors going on here, so let's keep doing our thing.
Reflect that light tenfold.
All right,
thank
everyone.
Thank you so much. Yes.
One love.
Thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing. Yeah, bless you. Bless you.
Thank you so much. All right, and thank you to everyone as well. So have an awesome week. Have an awesome now. You are the shift. Be the shifts. And we'll see you in the future. One love.
Love you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Paradigm Shift Radio. If you would like to connect with people where you are and continue the conversations further, then check out paradigmshiftcentral.com/buttons to order your supply of shift buttons to share with people to help invite them to this global project while also helping make new friends and building local community where you are. Shift buttons are tools to hack the matrix and tap into the synchronistic nature of reality to accelerate our collective awakening. Enter the promo code PSR into your order to receive additional bonus buttons to your supply. Thank you again, and one love.